Hello. Good to see you all. Welcome to the well. I really loved that worship, and there's one of the lyrics is kind of stuck in my head, that idea of Jesus, we can't live without you. And it's so true, but sometimes I think we forget about that. There's this tendency, right, where we're like, I got this, until like we're under a whole lot of stress or something, and then we're like, no, wait, I actually do need Jesus. So let me just start out, and I know we prayed, Corey prayed, but let's pray again, then we'll get started for the night. Yeah. Jesus, we thank you for who you are, the reality of who you are in our lives. And I thank you that we can't live without you. You are our life source, our Savior in big and little ways. Yeah. And so we just repent. We turn around of all those times in our day-to-day life where we live apart from you, where we live unaware of you, and just kind of try to do things on our own. And yeah, we come back to you. We pray that you would capture our attention and our affection again and help us recognize that we are desperately needy for your presence in our lives in a sustained way. So we ask for your help as we seek you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, guys. Okay, so I have a pet peeve in life, which is when two awesome things are happening at the same time in different places, right? Super lame, because I can't be in two places, but I want to be at both things, and I've yet to figure out a way to make that happen. So we had fall retreat that started Friday night. It was super fun, and I loved being there, but there was also this really awesome campus event with food trucks on campus. If you guys, I mean, come on, food trucks. Who, was anybody at that? Yeah. Where's Nate Miniman? Are you here? Hi. What was your favorite food truck? Oh, yeah. Was there one with tacos, though? Oh, that's why. Okay, you can go with pulled pork as long as there's not tacos, I think. I know that Nate also has the same pet peeve that I do, because anytime we have something happening with well leaders or some kind of event or maybe sometimes important meetings, I run into him right before and he's like, you know, I was planning on coming to that, but there's this other thing happening. So it's great. Sometimes I'm like, get in the place where you're supposed to be right now. Yeah, no, it's good. Okay, so some of us spent this past weekend together talking about how in a world that is constantly changing and in circumstances that are kind of always fluctuating around us, the one constant and unchanging thing in our life is the nature and character of God, and thereby our identity that's found in him. The nature and character of God doesn't change. I feel like we can take like a big breath together. Like, isn't that good news? We have a foundation that we can stand on that is secure. The nature and character of God never changes. So we are going to have weeks here at the well where we dig into this. Do I sound a little bit like I'm in a tunnel? Okay, great. I'm just crazy. Perfect. Also fine. So we're going to have weeks here at the well where we dig into very specific passages of Scripture and try to get the nuances and the depth out of those specific passages. And we're going to have weeks where we're trying to look at overarching themes within the grand narrative that is God's Word from Genesis to Revelation. Because it's important to do both of those things. We need to get into the specific, but we really also need to understand the big picture and some of those overarching themes. So this is going to be a week where we zoom out a little bit and look at some of those themes and what they mean for us. Tonight, we are talking about how God is a communicating God. Now, if this is a new idea to you, just hold on tight. If this is, like, old news, yeah, okay, Mallory, I already know that to be true. Dear sweet Nicodemus, there is more to learn. There is more for you to know about how God communicates with you, so nobody gets to tune out. Ready? Okay, we're going to start with one of the most basic and perhaps complicated things about God, which is that Scripture reveals to us that God is Trinity. Has anybody heard this idea before, the idea that God's Trinity? Yeah, so basically it means that God is three persons in one God. So we have God the Father, we have Jesus, fully God, fully human, and we have God the Holy Spirit. Distinct, but one. Three persons, one God. So a few weeks ago, we talked about how, like, we can't grasp all of God, right? There's something about God that is bigger than our brains can comprehend. Here we are. This is one of those moments where we're like, okay, I kind of understand Trinity. It's also a bit of a mystery. But I love that God keeps some of himself as a mystery, right? There's something that kind of draws us in and helps us want to keep exploring who he is. So, okay, so we have this God who in his very nature, there's interrelationship, right? Within God's self, there is community. Really interesting thought. So, and we are created in God's image. So God is wired for relationship, and we are wired for relationship. I think it's important for us to touch on this and take a few minutes to talk about it, because a lot of us were raised in church traditions where our faith is basically obeying the rules, and that's kind of sometimes limited to what our faith experience has been like. There's been discussion recently, you've probably seen a couple books out about this as well, between that the idea that it's either relationship or religion, and it's one or the other. I think that's kind of tricky, because I think what we believe and how we act are actually really very interconnected. But the reality is this: if you're going through the motions and your heart's not in what you're doing, God's not interested in it. There's a great scripture in the prophetic literature where he says that to his people. He says, you're going through all the motions, but your hearts are far from me. Therefore, what you're doing isn't important to me. Like, there's this idea of he really wants our heart to be invested in our faith and in our relationship with him. God is deeply relational. And we see this throughout all of the narrative of Scripture. God is constantly reaching out to his people. He's constantly trying to reestablish relationship with his people. God is a covenant-making God. So a covenant is a binding relational agreement. Can anybody think of an example of another binding relational agreement? Wedding vows, yes. Yeah, that's what this should kind of bring to mind for us. I was in a Bible study in high school. I'd kind of just become a Christian, so I didn't know a whole lot. And I went to this Bible study, and I remember the leader of the Bible study was talking about what is marriage. And I don't know why they thought, like, talking to 16-year-olds about marriage was super, like, timely. I guess I'm from a small town, so actually it probably was. Everybody got married right away. But I remember they threw this question out, what is marriage? And our responses were like, it's an adventure, and it's a partnership. It's where all the warm fuzzies live. And I actually remember, like, he looked at us really dumbfounded for a while, and then he, like, exploded. And he's just like, commitment! It's about commitment! It's like 5% the things that you said and 95% commitment. Like, what do you not get about? So, yeah, you don't know what you're doing when you're 15. It's okay. Interestingly, when God reaches out to his people through covenants, it sounds a lot like wedding vows. If you read through these conversations between God and God's people, or the liaison, the leader of the people, he says a lot of the time, and then you will be my people, and I will be your God. And then you will be my people, and I will be your God. We have ultimate covenant in Jesus, who offers us then permanent reconciliation with God. So here we have a deeply relational God. What does that mean for us? Well, how do you maintain relationships in your life? If I said you could only do one thing to maintain a relationship, what would it be? What? Communication. Good, Sadie. Point. Everybody, Sadie got a point. At the end of the night, she gets a s'more. Yeah, right? That's the one thing that's kind of got to happen. If you're trying to get to know someone better and trying to let them get to know you, there's got to be some kind of communication happening. Because our God is a relational God, it's very evident throughout Scripture, it also means that he communicates. In fact, the first thing that we see God do is speak. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters." And God said, "Let dry ground appear." And God said. It all started with God sending his voice out into the void. Throughout the Old Testament, we see God reach out to his people through communication in a variety of interesting, and by interesting, I mean crazy scenarios. So Moses happens to, along at one point, a bush that's on fire, but it's not actually burning up. Interesting, right? I wouldn't mind seeing that. And then the voice of God comes out of the fire, the fire that's not burning anything. Okay? That's trippy. At one point, God speaks through a donkey. I'm not kidding. Can you imagine? What would your reaction be to that? I'm pretty sure I would just like scream and run away. But no, he actually listens like he's supposed to. In Daniel 5, the fingers of a human hand appeared, and they write on the plaster of the wall. Right? Because why not? You know, God's like, I got something to say. I'm going to send a hand, and it's just going to write something. Sure. A big way that we see God communicate in the Old Testament are through prophets. So sometimes it's a personal prophet, like King David. There's basically the prophet Nathan is kind of assigned to him to, like, make sure that he's listening to God. And then other times it's something for all of the people. So the prophets come and they have a declaration to make on behalf of God to people. Most interesting to me about the prophets is a lot of times God asks them to do sign acts, which means they are supposed to demonstrate something with their behavior that demonstrates the message of God to people. One of the most interesting of those stories is that of Hosea, who's a prophet. We were talking about how God tries to establish relationship with us, and it sounds like wedding vows. That's the kind of commitment coming from his end. Well, he tells the prophet Hosea, my people are not paying a lot of attention to me. They're not really staying committed to me. In fact, they're worshiping other gods. And I want them to know that I'm still steadfastly pursuing them. So here's what I'd like you to do, Hosea. I would like you to marry a prostitute. And she was not going to be faithful to you, but I want you to keep being faithful to her as a demonstration and as a sign. So, yeah, I think that is an amazing picture, right, of how God keeps reaching out for his people. As far as communication goes, there are multiple accounts of angels, audible voices, visions, and dreams. So, really all kinds of ways that God reaches out. His ultimate communication to us is Jesus. Remember the writer of the Gospel of John, we were just in the Gospel of John the last few weeks, he refers to Jesus as the Word. In Hebrews 1, it says this about Jesus. In the past, God spoke to us, to our ancestors, through prophets, and at many times and in various ways. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Yeah. So if relationships are about knowing and being known, in an effort to make himself known and to help us understand him, God becomes one of us, right? Puts on skin. And you'll probably say this a million times. You'll hear me say this a million times. But if you want to get to know God better, just look at Jesus. If you want to hear what God is saying, listen to what Jesus is saying in Scripture. That is really how he speaks most clearly. And some translations of the Bible have Jesus' words even in red letters, so you can like find it easily when he's saying something. Okay, so we have very relational God, which makes him a God who communicates to his people. What does that mean for us? I have a few friends of mine who have been willing to come up and share a little bit about what it has looked like for them recently for God to communicate with them. So I'd like to invite up Sarah and Lydia and AJ. Yay, team! Sarah, I'm going to put you on the spot. Yeah. Yep.
So something I really wanted to share that the Lord has really been working on with me, and I feel like it applies to a lot of people in our community, especially those that are nearing that age of, like, graduation, what's next, what does my future hold? And so what me and the Lord have really been working on is he's been teaching me to live here and live in the now, not living in the what if, the could be, the might happen. So I just really want to give encouragement to live in the present and be present where you are now, because then you start to miss the things that are in these moments that you could be having and that the Lord could have for you, because you're thinking of what's coming next, what is my next step, what is going to be in this future, which is always a question. And the Lord will change whatever you come up with crazy in your head could be. So I just really want to, like, speak that over you, to live here and live now.
And how has God been communicating that to you?
For me, especially this weekend, he communicated a lot as I was praying over others, helping me realize the things I were praying applied to myself.
That's good.
Yeah. Sometimes I hear him, but in ways of not a voice, it's in a feeling. Mm-hmm. So that's how the Lord speaks to me.
Thanks, Sarah. AJ?
Okay, so God's been speaking to me a lot recently, like, not only, I guess, in divine coincidences and, like, just hearing words of affirmation from others and yada, yada, yada. But I think what I want to share with you is, like, how really he's been speaking to me through the usage of other people's voices or other followers' voices and kind of, like, speaking into that affirmation type thing. So I'll tell you a little story, I guess. And I guess just like everybody else, I have student loans. Like 120% of students have student loans or something like that. So like the last week I was like super stressful because I have some payments are going to be starting after next year. And I was like, shoot, like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to start getting money and have to start paying off these loans. And one of my loans ended up like, and this is not like a sob story, don't hear me wrong. One of my loans ended up falling through. And I was like, oh, like, beep. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do about that.
Self-editing, that's great.
I have to get another job. Like, what the heck? And so I was like, really, I was super stressed, and I was like having this interaction, this conversation with my mom, and she was like, chill, dude, what are you getting like so upset about? And I was like, Mom, you don't understand, like I have this and I have this, and I'm getting like so mad about this. And she's like, I don't know, I'm just like feeling like I'm supposed to just tell you like just hold on, at least like one more day, just like keep holding on. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, like to give you this silver lining, like the next day I ended up like receiving a really awesome scholarship that exceeded my previous loan, so it was like yeah, Mom, type thing. Like, thanks for speaking that into my life, but like really, like thank you, God, for that. So I guess really how he's been speaking to me recently is like through the voices and through the affirmation and through like the words of encouragement as well as words of wisdom from those followers around me.
That's great. Thanks for sharing. Lydia.
I think the way that God's been speaking to me, like, really clearly lately is scripture, particularly Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, which says, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Mm. A little bit of backstory. About 3 weeks ago, I found out that one of the people I had gone to high school with had passed away suddenly in a car accident, and that really hit me. I didn't really know what to do. I just kind of felt numb and, like, all these emotions, and I didn't know what to do with them. So I found out it was a Tuesday night. I got up the next day and made myself, like, try to have some sense of normalcy, go to class, get up, go to the rec, just to, I would wanted to lay in bed all day, but I told myself that I couldn't do that. And so I came back from class, and I'm like, oh man, I have like 6 things due tomorrow, I need to get this homework done, and I have like a quiz, and so I tried to do my homework, and I was just getting so frustrated and so angry, and just, I'm like, I have to get off campus. So I took a walk and went down to Freer Field thinking, okay, I'll get out to the woods. And as I'm walking down the paved path, I come to this intersection and there's this bench. And on the back of the bench, there's this plaque. And it says, Matthew 11:28, come to me all who are weary and heavy laden. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I get it. So I sat there for a while and felt good enough to like come back to campus and do the things I had to do to get me through the next day. Come Thursday night at the well, before we even started anything, Mallory looked like says, I think I just need to pray this over all of you. And it was Matthew 11:28. And then it happened a third time. I had gone home over Labor Day weekend. I felt like it was really important to like go to the calling hours and like go home to my family. And we had a community worship service for Labor Day, for the Labor Day weekend, and all the churches in the area got together. And the scripture for that service was Matthew 11:28. So God just showed up in this huge way, in this really hard thing for me. And just through all of that, it's like him saying, hey, I'm here. I'm in the middle of all this. Even if you don't think I am, you can trust me. I've got this under control, even if you don't understand it. And just the other thing that I took is that, I have all these things, all these burdens and things that I've been carrying around and things that I don't know what to do with. But I have to make the choice to give those over to God. And he's saying, I'll take those. Mm. You just have to trust me and rely on me and know that I'm going to take care of it. And that has just been a really awesome, like, encouragement in my life.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much. Thank you for sharing. Yeah, so God is communicating, and I think the more that we can tell stories to each other, isn't it encouraging to hear what God's doing in other people's lives? Yeah, so be asking people these stories, What would it be like if we regularly said to our friends, like, what's God doing in your life? What's he saying to you? What's happening? And to constantly be offering, this is a scripture that really spoke to me this week, or this is something that I feel like God's telling me or telling you, right? Really encouraging things happening. So, the God of the universe wants to communicate with you. Right? This is a big deal. God of the universe wants to communicate with you. So, a couple notes that I've learned in life about how God communicates is that he generally communicates to us in a unique fashion, right? He knows you perfectly. And he knows how to speak to you in a way that works for you. So sometimes it's easy, like even now, if you're hearing one of these stories, it can be easy to be like, well, I want God to talk to me like that. Or I want to have an experience with God that's like that person's. When in reality, like, there is something, intentional and unique about how God is with each of us. So my encouragement is to resist the temptation to compare, really ever in life, but especially in this area. And also God communicates seasonally. So I use this image a lot. I'm not sure if we've talked about it on a Thursday night together yet, but there are seasons in relationship with God. And we get seasons, right? We're Ohioans. Like, we got all of them, unfortunately. I could do with only 3. Sorry, Joel. I know you love winter. I could do without it. But similarly, in our walk with God, our journey with God, sometimes we have seasons. We have seasons that where everything is easier, and like we feel like we're experiencing God in the ways that we like. We feel like we're hearing from God. And then sometimes we have seasons that are harder, and we're like, feel like we're kind of forcing our way through the motions sometimes to really try to meet with the Lord. So all that to say, there are some times when God is intentionally quiet or even silent with us. The most interesting example of this that I found is the book of Esther. in the Bible. If you guys have heard of her story, she basically gets drafted into this group of potential wives for a king in a foreign land. So in a land that is not her heritage or her people or her faith. So they're also like not even practicing relationship with God like her people were doing. And she's there for years. And so when I look at Esther's story, I feel like she's probably asking a lot of questions, right? Like, what am I doing here? Like, where, God, what are we doing? Like, I don't understand how I kind of got put in this random situation, and I don't necessarily see where you're working. In the book of Esther, we don't see any direct communication between God and Esther. Right? And even if she has all of these big questions, we don't see direct communication from God. What we do see is God moving things around with some intention in her story to position her to, at the end of the day, save many lives. She ends up saving the lives of all of her people because God positions her in a place of authority with someone in influence. So, and she had some encouragement along the way, but it really took a point of her getting to a point and looking back to be like, God was in this and he was working. So if you've ever experienced a season like that, you're not alone. So as Esther and most other people, like there are times where you're like, I don't exactly know what God is doing right now, and I don't even, can't even say that I'm hearing from him clearly. He is in it. There are also seasons where we can hear from God if we're taking the time and space to do it, right? Like even if I am talking about a friendship, if I don't take time to like communicate with a person and have some quality time even where I'm really listening and really sharing, that relationship isn't going to necessarily get a whole lot deeper. So there are lots of ways that God communicates to us. We're going to focus on two of them tonight and explore some more the next couple weeks. The first is through Scripture, right? This is probably not a surprise to people. God reveals himself through the story of God and God's people in Scripture. 2 Timothy 3 says that all Scripture is God-breathed. God-breathed. And that Hebrews 4 says the Word of God is alive and active. So we're actually going to spend all of next week talking about the Word and Spirit and how they are connected to each other in the role of the Word and the Holy Spirit in our lives. But if the idea of listening for God to communicate with you directly is new to you, stick with Scripture. It's a great place to start. You got a purple half sheet when you walked in with the Scripture on it. So we're going to have some time and space later for listening. And if you aren't sure where to start, start with Scripture. That is a passage from Philippians 2, sometimes referred to as the Christ hymn. It's one of my favorites, so feel free to just hang on to that, read over it, and ask God what he has to say to you through that. The other thing that we are going to try together tonight is something called listening prayer. And I was first introduced to listening prayer when I was in college. And I mean, I guess I had like heard from God before then, but it never occurred to me that I should set aside time to listen. You know, I just always thought prayer was kind of like me journaling or saying kind of what I needed and thanksgiving for things and prayer requests for things. And it didn't really occur to me that if I took time and space and just listened, that God might actually talk back to me and we might have a two-way conversation and that that kind of communication is possible with God. So I gave it a shot and it started a really great new chapter for me in the Lord, where I really felt like I could hear from God. When you're first listening, of course, like the question, right, is like, how do I know if it's God and not just my own brain, right? That's the question that we have. And the answer is, it's a little bit tricky to figure out, but God always communicates in a way that is consistent with who he says he is and how he communicates in Scripture. So we can always go back to that. And if you have questions, I always say, if you feel like you're hearing something from God, take it to someone you trust, you know, and share it with them. I know that there's a lot of folks here who would be happy to be that person for you. If you have a good friend, that's great. Well leaders would be happy to, like, also listen to you. If you're like, I think this is what God is saying, does that sound like something God would say? You know, pull some other people into that conversation for some affirmation. So it is important to test what we're hearing. But Scripture is clear that we can learn the shepherd's voice, you know? Like, we can learn to distinguish God And this weekend, Peter was sharing about something, and he said something that I really liked, which is sometimes, like, when you're praying, thoughts come into your head that aren't, you know you didn't generate that thought, you know? You're like, or it's super challenging and makes you a little bit uncomfortable, and you're like, well, that's not even what I would say to myself. That's actually pretty, like, challenging. And then you can really kind of explore if that's God. So we are going to have some time here tonight during our second worship set. I'm going to invite the band back up. They're going to play for a little bit, just some nice music for us, and then we're going to worship together. And we'll just have some time set aside to listen for what God might have to say. So feel free again to stick with the scripture page and just read it over and ask, you know, what is anything standing out to you, what God might God be saying to you through scripture. Also, feel free to just take a card or a blank piece of paper and a pen. There are some of those provided in your pews if you didn't have those supplies with you. And just ask God, is there anything that you have to say to me? Now, sometimes I have found he doesn't always speak to me on my terms, right? Because sometimes I go into prayer with an agenda. I'm sure I'm the only person that does that here. But, you know, I have, like, very specific questions. And I'm like, I want you to address these three things, please. And he says, I love you. And I say, that's fantastic, but back to this topic. And he goes, I love you, right? Which is actually what I need to hear. But I just, you know, so be willing for God to speak in not necessarily your terms and have that be okay. And also, like, if you are feeling like you're not necessarily hearing anything, also fine, you know, don't beat yourself up. You're not doing it wrong. Sometimes things are clear and sometimes it's murky. And sometimes it comes in a feeling or just a sense of peace or a lot of ways. So again, feel free to just go back to the scripture, let that speak to you. Or we're going to have some well leaders behind the curtains in the back. I feel like they're the Wizard of Oz, the man behind the curtain. But it's not that creepy, I promise. So they'll be hanging out back there. And if you're like, you know what, I want some encouragement, but I'm not sure I'm hearing something, they're going to be happy to pray for you and bless you with something from the Lord as well. So those are kind of all of our options for us tonight. Donald Miller, I should talk about him enough so everyone absolutely knows who he is. He's an author, and I would call him a practical theologian that I really admire. He writes books. He just wrote one called Scary Close. And in it, he talks about how all relationships have a trajectory. They have a momentum to them. You know, every relationship is going a certain direction, and every interaction you have with a person is going either in that direction or not. So there's some intentionality about relationships. So my question for us is to do a little bit of a DTR tonight. Do you guys know the DTR abbreviation? What it stands for, define the relationship. Yeah, and normally we all hate it, right? Because it's like, I'm getting ready to tell someone I like them and I don't know what they're going to say. That's generally what DTRs look like, or the opposite. But it's really just define the relationship. So you just think about, like, what is my relationship with God looking like right now? Have we been communicating? What does communication look like? Have I heard from God? Am I making time? Am I communicating? Some of those questions. Yeah, so know that we're going to just have some space tonight. Again, feel free to just pray and worship. Feel free to engage with scripture. Feel free to listen. Feel free to have someone pray for you in the back. Those are all options. It's a free space for us tonight. Amen? Yeah. Let me pray over our time, and then, we'll invite God to speak to us. God, I thank you for who you are. Yeah, I thank you for who you are and for the fact that who you are never changes, so that we can trust who you are to be a stable and secure force in our lives. I thank you that in your very nature, you're relational, that you reach out to us, that you want to communicate with us. I pray specifically against the lie that God doesn't talk to me, or I don't know how to hear from God. And I pray the truth that in one way or another, you are reaching out and you are attempting to make connections with us. So whatever that looks like for us, we say yes to it. I pray a special blessing on anybody tonight who feels like they're having some difficulty hearing or don't exactly know if this is very new to them, that they can just rest in knowing that you have spoken and you will speak in some way to them as well. So we just pray that we are receptive to whatever you want to do. Yeah. We thank you that you're actively working in our lives, and we ask you to speak into our lives and also maybe give us words for other people so we can bless other people. Yeah. Yeah, Father, we thank you for who you are. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.